Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Press Room Live. My name is Jack Raymond, and I have the privilege of serving here as our online community pastor. Today is Time Change Sunday, so I know, of course, a lot of us here in America, we are up a little bit earlier today. People all over the world, we're so glad that you're here with us. We are excited to worship Jesus together. I'm right next to our orchestra, who are amazing. We've got our choir in the house. We've got people coming in and people joining online. So let us know right now. If you're on Facebook, church online, YouTube, let us know where you're joining from. Our team wants to connect with you. We want to pray with you. We want to serve you any way that we can. We want to be a praying community. And you can text the number 74788 in the word guide right now. Text guide to 74788. That gives you a digital copy of our worship guide and everything that's coming up here at Prestonwood. As you might know, we're just a couple weeks away from Palm Sunday, and then Easter is early this year on March 31st. But Pastor Graham is bringing an incredible message, so grab your Bibles. We're in Joshua chapter 14. Invite a friend, text them right now, and let's worship Jesus together.
Come on, let's stand to our feet. We're here to worship the name above every other name, amen. His mercy and His grace is new for you today. So come on, let's worship together. Come on, put your hands like this. Come on, let's sing. Come, let us worship our King. And come, let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. Come on, do you believe that? Sing.
See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things.
All right, we sing.
Oh, hear of heaven.
sing together. He led me out of the desert, brought me into his streams, river of living water, turned my bitter into sweet, and all my burdens lifted. You took the shackles off my feet. Oh, there's no sound louder than a captive set free.
So let the Redeemer, the Lord, save Saul. Sing of his promises evermore. Pour out your thankfulness. Let it overflow. Let the Redeemer, the Lord,
there's joy this morning, come on.
There's joy in the morning, springing up in my soul. There is life worth living, 'cause he calls me his own. And there's a hallelujah after sweet victory. Oh, there's no sound louder than a captive say.
Have you been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? We sing, you are my deliverer. Come on.
You are my deliverer, the freedom I'm living in. You are my deliverer. You are my promised land. You are my deliverer.
Good to be in the house of the Lord, amen. Welcome to Prestonwood. It is so glad to see you. My name is Caleb. I'm one of your worship pastors, and it is an honor this morning to be led in worship by our friends Tyler and Mallory Gilliland, who are friends of our ministry, visiting us from Houston this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Welcome to church. Before we do anything else this morning, why don't you find someone you haven't said good morning to yet and say hello to them.
Good morning, good morning. Hey, let's give a shout and a praise to the Lord in heaven. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. How many can say so this morning? Are you thankful to be in God's house? Amen. Well, welcome to Prestonwood. My name is Scott Turner, and I'm humbled to serve as associate pastor here in the preaching team. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord this morning. So welcome here, those that are here and those that are worshiping with us online. God bless you. Welcome to service at Prestonwood. This is a glorious day. Amen. When you came in, you should have received the Prestonwood today. If you're a guest here, we say welcome to you. Welcome to the church called Prestonwood and this body of believers. Would you please do us a favor if you're a guest today and text the word connect to 74788. If you would, please text the word connect to 74788. We just want to record that you're here. How can we pray for you? Learn about what's going on in the life of our church. We would love to stay in touch with you. We won't bother you, just to know that you're here and that we welcome you and we thank God for you. If you're a guest here after church, Pastor would love to give you his book, Essential Gospel. You can go to Guest Central and pick that up. It's right behind the worship center. We'd love to put that in your hand. Well, church, thank you so much for being generous and obedient to the word of God in your tithe and your offering. In the mission and the work of Prestonwood, both here locally and globally. And that it's not something that we as a church take for granted. We know that God multiplies our tithe and offering to be a blessing in our generation. And so before we pray for our offering, I'm going to ask our ushers to please come take their place that we may take up our offering and our tithes. And you know what, y'all, pastor has a message today out of Joshua. The book of Joshua, chapter 14. And he's going to be talking about a mighty man of God. So I pray that your ears are attentive and that your hearts are prepared. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for yet another opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for those that have come to worship, those that are watching online, worshiping with us as a family of believers. God, we thank you for Jesus Christ who died on the cross, who shed his blood that we may have everlasting life. Lord, we pray, God, that you would continue to receive our worship. God, that you would move mightily in this place. God, we pray that you would prepare pastor's heart, anoint his lips as he preaches and teaches the word of God. Lord Jesus, may our hearts be open, may our ears be open, may our eyes be open to receive the word of God today. Father God, the Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. Father, we pray, God, as we are in this worship place today, that God, you would move mightily on the hearts of men and women and children. And Father God, for those that are watching, Father, they would sense the presence and the power of God. And Lord, we pray as we take up this offering and these tithes to God, you would be glorified. Thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh, God, our provider. We give it right back to you, God, that we may build your kingdom and be a blessing in our generation. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us so much. We love you back, and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody say it. Amen.
In the darkness, we were waiting, without hope and without light, till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes, to fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. Raise the Father, raise
Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King. If the altar's where you meet us, take me there. If you're looking for an offering, it's right here. My life is here, and I'll be a living sacrifice for you. You're a fire, the refiner. I wanna be consumed. I wanna be tried by fire, purified. You take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life. I wanna be tried by fire, purified. You take whatever you desire. Lord, here's my life.
If your glory wants to come in, let it fall. We want it all. Lord, your fire is consuming. Fill this space and set it ablaze, and I'll be a living sacrifice.
Good morning, everyone. It is so good to see you today, and I know this is the early service. It's a little extra early today, and because this is the day we spring forward, and we set our clocks forward, we look forward to more daylight. Spring forward is the beginning of a new day and a new season. It's daylight savings time. And I've just been thinking about that some this week as we realize now that winter is fading and spring is emerging as we set our clocks forward. And when we do, the days get longer and the sun begins to feel warmer. It's a change of seasons, and it's a good opportunity for a new beginning for each one of us. We are 3 weeks today from Easter, 2 weeks from Palm Sunday, and then Holy Week, and then Good Friday and Easter. It is a wonderful time of the year. Winter is over, and spring is on the way.
Amen.
So, as time moves on with each new day, it's a good time for us to consider where we are in life. And, you know, in the seasons and reasons of life, some of us are getting a little older now, and we have a wonderful example of how we can age well in Caleb, who, and you can begin finding Joshua chapter 14. But I found this, it's called 51 Signs You're Getting Older, large print edition. You know you're getting older when everything hurts and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. You know you're getting older when the gleam in your eyes is from the sun hitting your bifocals. Or you sit in a rocking chair and you can't get it going. Or your knees buckle and your belt won't. You sink your teeth into a steak and they stay there. I like this one. This actually happened to one of our staff members recently. I'll not reveal the name to protect the guilty. But you're asleep, but others worry that you're dead. Your back goes out more than you do. You enjoy hearing about other people's operations. People call at 9 p.m. and say, "Did I wake you?" Someone said old age is when you've got it all together, but you can't remember where you put it. Or when you drop something and you look at it for a while and wonder if it's worth picking it up. Well, we're going to meet a man today in the story of Joshua whose name is Caleb. Perhaps not a well-known biblical hero, but he's certainly a great man of God and someone that is an example to all of us, whatever stage or age in life we may be in. Let me remind you, the story of Joshua is one of victorious Christian living. It's about the blessings of God that are inherited by the children of God. We're to go and take these blessings as God has provided for them. We're to seize them every day. I'm calling this message Semper Fi. It's the Marine motto. It means faithful always or always faithful. And this is the story of Joshua, and it's the story of our man, Caleb. There are burdens to bear and there are battles to fight in the land of promise, but he has given us victory. He's always causing us to triumph in Jesus Christ. And therefore, as we spring forward into the future, into this next season, this is a time of hope for all of us. Belief and trust, no matter what season of life you're in, the rest of your life can be and should be the best of your life. And that's more than a pious platitude or a Christian cliche that doesn't work. It is a biblical principle and it is a fact of life. The people who live the longest and live the best are people who live with courageous, confident optimism and faith. I saw that in Zig Ziglar. We've got the Zig Ziglar dinner coming up soon in support of Prestonwood Christian Academy scholarships for our students, and I hope you'll consider going. We're going to honor not only Zig Ziglar, his life and legacy, but John Maxwell will be speaking, and he's our recipient, and he's certainly a great example of courageous optimism as well. It is a biblical truth, but it was Zig who once said that optimism is taking a rowboat and a jar of tartar sauce after Moby Dick. And so we are always optimistic. Paul put it this way, as we are leaning in to the future. This is the New Living Translation. He said, I focus on this one thing. I've noticed in life the most successful people are the most simple in many ways, in that their focus is sure, not distracted and divided, but always focusing on the main thing. Paul said, I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling me. God is calling us onward and upward, forward by faith. This is my attitude and my approach to life. Always forward. One great missionary said, David Livingston, I'll go anywhere with God as long as it's forward. That's the title of our message series in Joshua, Forward. So simplify, forward, faithful always. It's the motto of the Marines, and it's the motto of the man in front of us today. We find this part of the story, verse 6, beginning in verse 6, Joshua 14. And we're going to read all the way through verse 14. Chapter 14, verses 6 through 14. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. Now remember, Joshua and Caleb had been fast friends for many years. They started out as slaves in Egypt and led out of captivity by Moses. They went with the children of God and spent 40 years in the desert together. They've now crossed the Jordan and defeated Jericho together. They've fought many other battles, and now it's time to divide the land and the inheritance of all the leaders of Israel. So he's reminding Joshua what Moses said to him earlier. He said in verse 7, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. And my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I, note this in your Bibles, underscore it because it's the theme of everything we're going to be saying today, wholly followed the Lord my God. You might just put in the margin of your Bibles there, wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever. We're always looking forward. We're always leaning forward. Forever. For our children, for our family, for our lives, for our legacies, because you have wholly followed, there it is again, the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive. The Lord has kept me alive. Just as he said, these 45 years, so add it up, how old is he? How old is he? 85. So now he's 85 years old since the time the Lord spoke to this word to Moses, and while Israel walked in the wilderness, and now, behold, I am this 85 years old, and I'm still as strong today as I was in the day as Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now, give me this hill country, or this mountainous range, of which the Lord spoke of that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said. Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and for an inheritance. And therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this very day. Wow, what a story. What a great story. I want us to learn the lessons of the Semper Fi, always faithful. See first the vision of this man, Caleb. Because his vision should be our vision. Do you have a vision and a mission for your life? Now, it seems for some, the older they get, the easier it is to want to settle, to stay the same. And one of the characteristics of some older people is they don't like change. Well, they may like change just as long as change doesn't affect them. We want it safe and comfortable and predictable sometimes. But this is never God's plan for his children. The way of the Lord is always forward, always onward and upward. Knowing him more and more, serving him better and better. Letting go of the past, whether it is the victories or the disappointments, and leaning into a future that is filled with hope and joy. This is the law of Christian living. Never living backwards, but always living forward. Doing the will of God today and every day until Jesus comes. And the goal of the Christian should be the life of Caleb, which is to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Jesus gave his life for us on the cross. He died and he rose again. Not so that we could sit on a pew and watch the world go by, but rather that we could serve him all the days of our lives. And that we are pressing onward and leaning forward into our lives. Like the old gospel song says, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. That's the life of the Christian. Like this man who at 85 years of age is serving the Lord fully and completely. 6 times, both in Joshua and the book of Numbers, it says of Caleb that he was wholehearted, all in. We ought to be able to say, Lord, you have my life, every part of it, all the heart of it, you have it all. That's the Christian life, to surrender ourselves and give ourselves completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have one life to live, and the good news is that it's always forward, and ultimately, it's never over. Because of the resurrection, because of the promises of God, we have a living hope. And it's time to get your life out of neutral, if it is, and start driving forward in the power of God. Amen. That you would be a faithful follower of Jesus for the sake of your life and the sake of your legacy. This is, in the case of Caleb, about his family and about the future of his family. And what is true for Caleb is true for you. Your faith today sets in motion the fate of your family in the days ahead. Caleb did this, and so can you. And I'm calling us today, every one of us, those of you watching online, watching on PowerPoint television, or listening, I'm calling every one of us today to begin giving 1,000% to the cause of Christ, to the work of his church and his kingdom. God deserves everything, everything that we have. He said, you belong to me. And so, Lord, we give our lives to you. We have way, way too many half-hearted Christians. Too many Christians who settle rather than give their lives away. May God give you a holy ambition. What is the holy ambition of your life? What is the dream? God gave Caleb a dream. It came from God himself. He didn't dream it up. The dream came from God. Delight yourself in the Lord, the psalmist said, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So what desires has God placed in your heart as you have sought him? This came from God's word, and the word of God came to him, built his faith, and said, I'm going to give you the mountain. I'm going to give you the most luscious part of the land of promise. It's called Hebron. And it's a land flowing with milk and honey and fruitfulness. And God gave this man a promise just as he's given us promise. And that promise is to live a life of fullness and blessing. Do you have that desire in your heart? Are we fully following the Lord? Or would you have to say, not always. Sometimes I'm just not all in. As we spring forward today, I'm asking you to get this sermon out of your ears and into your heart. Out of this church, off these seats and into the streets where we can serve the Lord Jesus. I'm challenging you, as I challenge myself, like Caleb, to wholly follow the Lord, wholeheartedly. This desire, you see, this came from the Lord, which brings me to the second point, which is the vitality of this man. The vitality. He said, the Lord has kept me alive all these years. Why are you alive today? Because God kept you alive. Amen. And as long as there is breath in our bodies, as long as God keeps us alive, we will have vitality and strength to serve the Lord. He's 85 years old, and he's still claiming mountains. He's still fighting battles. And I'm praying we somehow get this into our hearts, because what happened to this man is, it was supernatural. I mean, he was in great shape. When I think about Caleb, I mean, just picture old Caleb in your mind, perhaps. And I see him as a grizzly old veteran. White hair, white beard, gnarly muscles. But what I really see is a great heart, a big heart for God. That's what kept him alive. What keeps us alive is God's purpose in our lives. And how many times have you heard me say, if you're not dead, you are... Oh, you haven't been listening. So I repeat myself. If you are not dead, you are not done. And God has a plan and a purpose for your life. You were made on purpose for a purpose. And the vitality of our lives, those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like on eagle's wings and run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Paul said, though the outward man is decaying, the inner person is being renewed every single day. So what happened to Caleb can happen to you. No matter what age you may be, you can be renewed spiritually and supernaturally. And Caleb persevered, watch this, through the years, through discouragement and defeat. He spent 40 years of his life wandering in the wilderness with a bunch of losers who refused to obey God and take the land when God had promised them and given it to them. They shirked back. They were fearful. But Caleb was faithful, and Caleb was fearless, and he never let go of his dream. No matter what others were doing, no matter the distractions and the diversions of others, through all the defeats and disappointments, can you imagine how he waited and waited and waited and waited for the promise of God? But at some point in his life, probably back there at Kadesh Barnea, he said, Lord, I'm going all the way with you. I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going to be true to you. And I will fulfill my purpose in life that you have given me. Semper Fi, always faithful. Too many Christians are not always faithful. They're fretful and fearful. Do you know the prayer of your pastor today for all of us? And that is, I want you to live in the fullness of God's promises for your life. My heart's desire as your pastor is that you would dream again, that you would do again what God has called and commissioned you to do. Don't settle, but say, God, give me the mountain that is right in front of me, wholeheartedly, captured by the one big idea, the great dream or dreams that God puts in your life. Keep it. Don't let it. Some people are buried at 80, but they died at 40. And so don't let don't let your dreams divide. You know, weak men are often, and women, are often divided and distracted because they're uncommitted to anything. Just here and there and never really settled and focused on what God has called. Caleb got up every day and said, I will follow the Lord fully. And we need people today with this kind of vitality. This is not a time to be tired. If you're tired, take a nap and then get up and go again. Unfortunately, in churches today, we've got a lot of nice people who are willing to go along to get along. They want to take a stand. They want to live for Jesus. They want to be bold and vital in their faith, but they worry way too much about what others think. Caleb didn't care what the other 10 spies thought. He was going God's way. When the time comes to really stand up and fight, these nice Christians are nowhere to be found. Which brings me to my third point, which was this man's valor, his valor. Caleb the courageous. He was strong and valorous. I like that word. And we are always faithful when we are courageously committed. Faithfulness creates fearlessness in our lives. It is commitment that builds confidence. Your vision is valiant and vigorous, and we overcome the obstacles that are in front of us. What was in the way of Caleb? Mountainous territory and giants that lived in the land. They were called the Anakim. And they were the same giants that he had seen many years earlier, 40 years earlier. They were still there. And standing between Caleb and the promise that God gave him was not only the discouragement of all these grasshoppers that died in the desert. They said, we're like grasshoppers compared to those giants. They had a grasshopper complex. So you had the grasshoppers and then you had the giants standing in the way, but Caleb never let anything stop him. You know why so many people fail in life and never achieve God's blessings in their lives? Because they've got a grasshopper complex, or they're fearful of the giants in front of them. But look in chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. Let's go back and look there. It says, but my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, yet I wholly follow the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord your God. And then he said, these giants will be like bread to you. He said, you're gonna eat these guys for breakfast, Caleb. Why? Because I've given you this victory. God is saying your enemies will be nothing to you. The Bible says no weapon formed against you will prosper.
Amen.
Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Right now, we have adversaries in our country that are resisting and fighting against biblical commitment and conviction. The culture is getting increasingly hostile towards Bible-believing Christians. And if you've noticed lately, there's a term. And get ready for it, because this is what we're hearing again and again. You are a Christian nationalist. Have you heard that? If you're paying attention to the political debate and the cultural conflict, if you love God, if you love Jesus Christ, and, oh yes, you're a patriot and you love your country, then you are a Christian nationalist. And that is a pejorative term. To seek to silence us, shame us, stultify us, and shame us so that we will not stand up and face the culture. Sometimes we don't want to fight the giants. And there are giants. The President of the United States in his State of the Union address doubled down, tripled down on killing babies and abortion and determining to return to the old ways of Roe v. Wade. And I'm listening to that, I'm watching that, and you know what I'm thinking? God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. And Joe Biden will stand before a holy God and give an account for that and many other things. And so you say, well, Pastor, don't get political. I'm not getting political. I'm getting biblical.
Amen.
And again, we got a lot of Christians. Oh, let's just play nice. Let's be nice. Well, God has called us to love people, and we will love people. But just like Caleb, there are some mountains to climb. There are some giants to face in our world today, and we need some Calebs and Mrs. Calebs who will be willing to say, God, give me that mountain. Show me those giants. Because, it's like Billy Sunday said, I'm going to get after the devil. I'm going to bite the devil to death, and if I lose all my teeth, I'm going to gum him to death. And that's the attitude of a Caleb, a man or a woman of God who fully follows the Lord. We are not overcome. Remember this, our destiny, our future, our opportunities hangs on the hinges of opposition. Always. Always. So, you need to start seeing things from God's perspective. You know the key to this man's life? I think it's 6, maybe 7 times it says in here, and the Lord said, the Lord said, the Lord said, the Lord said, the Lord said. God gave him his word. God gave him his promise. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we need to be like this man, Semper Fi, who said, God promised me a mountain. God gave me a victory already, and I'm going to go and take it. He kept on keeping on. And so what was his victory? The last point. What was his victory? It was a place called Hebron. Hebron. Hebron was holy ground for the Hebrews. It was the only piece of property that Abraham, the father of the Hebrew nation, ever owned in the land of promise. He was visited by angels there at the place called Hebron. I've been there to Hebron. I've seen it today. It's difficult to go there. It's occupied right now. It's not necessarily all that safe to be in Hebron, but it was occupied then as well in Caleb's day. But he buried his wife there. He bought this property, Abraham did, so that he could bury his wife, Sarah, in the land of promise. Abraham himself buried there. Isaac, the next patriarch, the son, the promised one. And Rebekah and Jacob and Leah, all buried at Hebron. But it was occupied in Caleb's day by godless people. So Caleb, knowing how sacred that site was, prayed for Hebron. He said, God gave me this plot of ground. So, quick aside, when you pray, pray bold prayers, pray big prayers. He prayed for a tough one. It was a land flowing of milk and honey, but there were big giants there. But he was climbing higher, and he had a holy call to choose beyond what the normal person might have chosen. I digress. He was 85. He could have been looking for a lakeside home, a quiet place. You know, sometimes older people like it really quiet. God, just give me someplace quiet. Just give me someplace where there are no struggles, no problems. I've done enough. I've put up with these crazy Israelites in the desert all these years. We've gone through Jordan. We've gone to Jericho. The walls are down. We fought this battle. I'm retiring. But you know, retirement is never in the Bible. And he didn't retire. He said, no, Lord, give me that mountain. Give me the giants. Let me, Adam, give me Hebron. The word Hebron is of mysterious origin in the Hebrew language, and we don't know exactly what it means, which I kind of like that about the word Hebron. But most likely it means face to face with God. Fellowship with God. Several years ago, God gave us a dream and a vision to relocate this church from North Dallas to this place that we have now been for 25 years this year. Come May, it will be 25 years that we will celebrate on this little bump of ground in Plano, Texas. And the street that runs in front of us, the old street, I know some call it park now, but the street that runs right in front of us is named what?
Hebron.
Where we have met face to face with God.
Amen.
So many times and in so many ways. Our fellowship in the Lord, we have claimed our Canaan. God gave us a victory. God gave us this Hebron, and what he has done for his church and his people, he will do for you. This is not a time to be looking for comfort or convenience. This is a time to keep going, because if you're not dead, you're not done. And here's the wrap-up of this message. Ask God to show you your Hebron, that place where you will be face to face with him. Ask God to give you that mountain. What is it? I don't know. Ask him. A person to reach with the gospel of Christ. A neighbor who needs you. Even if it's something as simple as putting a sign in your yard to say, Jesus is risen.
Amen.
A class to teach. A group to lead. A needy family to serve. I'm talking about your dream, your desire, your mission, your mountain. A needy family to serve. A ministry to support. A young person to mentor. A special needs friend to embrace. There are scores a baby to save. There are scores and scores of ministries and mountains for every one of us. You know, the most exciting time in a baseball game to me is the play rounding third and coming home, going home. All eyes on that runner touching third and sliding safely home. That's the most exciting time in a ball game. And to me, if you're rounding third in your life today, this is the most exciting time for you. So score. Go as fast as you can. You don't go as fast as you used to. But you pick them up and God will put them down. Lord, I should say it the other way. You ask God to pick them up and then you just put them down. I close with this. It's the story of the disciple. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit's power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back or let up or slow down or back away or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living and sight walking and small planning and smooth knees and colorless dreams and tamed visions and mundane talking and cheap giving and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence or prosperity or position or promotions, plaudits or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by power. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions few. My guide reliable. My mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the adversity, or negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander at the maze of mediocrity. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. Say, I am fully following the Lord. I have the heart of Caleb. Amen. And say, God, give me that mountain. And then go take it in the power of Jesus. For there you will experience Hebron. You will be face to face with God. And when you go to heaven, whether it's by land or by air, you'll just keep going because it never stops for us. We just keep going. We keep serving the Lord on the other side forever and ever. Would you stand with me, please? Everyone standing together. Let me ask you to pray with me, every head bowed and every eye closed. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is the opportunity that you most desperately need. You need Jesus in your life. There's no hope, there's no future, there's no forward motion, no upward. It's all down, 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 down if you don't know Jesus. How depressing to live your life without God and therefore without hope. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins, a debt you could never pay in a billion years. Christ paid the price. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God. He died and He rose again. And if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved from sin. Saved from yourself. Saved from judgment and hell. Saved in order to live your life fully for Christ. Saved that you might go to heaven. You can know that you're going to heaven today. Today. By simply praying a prayer like this, wherever you are, in a room, in a space where you are, watching a screen somewhere, or in this beautiful room, this worship center, pray a prayer from your heart like this. Lord Jesus, I do trust in You. I turn from my sins, and I put my faith in You and You alone to save me. I know I can't save myself. I've tried. I can't. but you can. So, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Just ask him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So say, Lord, I believe. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And then when we sing in just a moment this hymn of decision and give a public invitation, those of you online, there's a number, 747-88. You can text the word Jesus and connect, and we'll help you make that decision for Christ. And right here, right now in this room, there are pastors upstairs in the balcony and ministers, pastors on the lower level as well. Right here, I'm going to ask you to come, go forward. We've been saying that word a lot. Forward. I'm going to ask that you go forward, that you come forward and follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. This is the life. This is life. To live your life for Jesus. To live for a cause and a kingdom greater than yourself. So take it today. Receive from Christ all that he has promised and then publicize it. Make it public by coming down this aisle. You say, what am I supposed to do? What's going to happen if I come down there? We'll have a brief word with you. The pastor will encourage you. We'll have a quiet conversation after the service about your spiritual life and how you can know Christ and what it means to follow Christ. And then there are others who are believers. I'm going to encourage you to come and join this church today. This is not a time for us to be sermon tasters and church watchers and even just members and attenders. But if you will be a faithful follower of Jesus and join this church today and be a part of our mission and our vision to reach the world with the gospel, we invite you to come and make that decision. Come as a single adult. Come as a couple. Come as a family. But make that decision, and you can unite with this church this very day. Today. If you've not been baptized as a believer in Christ by immersion, as a believer and follower, as the New Testament teaches, then you can make an appointment for your baptism as well. And be a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Lord, may it be so. May your Holy Spirit work in all our hearts today and help those who are responding and receiving Christ today. God, give them courage to stand for you, to come forward, add to your church, bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.